Today's text is a collection of sayings concerning the kingdom of heaven. Matthew's theme seems to be exactly that, the kingdom of heaven, throughout his gospel. So today I want to reflect a little bit on what we mean by that phrase. I think our tendency is to think about heaven as somewhere out there. The typical English translation of these texts is partly to blame. But when we look at an English-Greek interlinear Bible, it becomes clear that a more accurate translation would be to speak of the kingdom of the heavens. And we need to clarify what we mean by the heavens. Science, with its knowledge of interstellar space, helps us to see that the heavens are not in contrast to the Earth, but that the Earth itself, part of the solar system, the galaxy, is part of the heavens. We think of the heavens as the place where God dwells. And of course, God dwells everywhere. So when we speak of the kingdom of the heavens, we need to reflect for a minute also on the idea of kingdom. In today's world, there are 43 countries that have kings or queens as the head of state, but there are very few left that would be considered absolute monarchies, the place where what the king says goes. Now, in biblical times, the king was an absolute ruler, and this is the dynamic that is expressed in the term the kingdom of the heavens. Dallas Willard, who is one of my favorite spiritual authors and whose work largely informs my theology on this subject, put it this way: the kingdom of the heavens is where what God wants is done. Now, sometimes we talk about the idea of heaven being in our hearts, and we are all waxing lyrical about this. The irony is that the human heart is the one place where the kingdom of the heavens may not hold sway. Human beings are unique in the free will, which allows us to not do what God wants. Paul says, we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness to God's marvelous kingdom of light. But the devil, the world, and our own flesh create an internal conflict, which means that the dynamics of the kingdom are not always fully realized in our lives. We pray about that every time we pray the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's not that God's kingdom fails to exist without our praying, but what we are praying is that it would be fully realized in our lives. God's will is done throughout the heavens, and we pray that it would be done especially and particularly in our lives, that we would do the will of God. Now, today's text presents us with images that talk about the dynamics of the kingdom. The first one, the parable of the mustard seed, is full of irony. First of all, any of us who have ever had mustard seed in our kitchen cupboards knows that by no means is the mustard seed the smallest of seeds. And thanks to Barb, who brought this so that we could all see what mustard seed looks like in case you don't use it. It's, put it this way, the carrot seeds that I planted once upon a time were a lot smaller than the mustard seed. So it's not the smallest seed. And the tree that grows up really would rather be called a large bush. It is certainly not by any means the largest tree compared to some of those beautiful big trees on Vancouver Island. This parable is full of what is called Hebrew hyperbole. It's like you stretch the edges of possibility in order to make a point. So we have this seed that is small, but certainly not the smallest. And it creates a bush, which is certainly much larger than the seed, but certainly not that big either. And in fact, what I'm told is a rather ugly looking bush. But there are a couple of points that are embedded in this image, in this parable. First of all, it's a reminder that in the kingdom of the heavens, small things can grow into much larger things. We are encouraged to pursue the small things that can make a difference, because you never know what kind of growth might happen. In this case, the shrub becomes a resting place for all kinds of birds. And there's actually a mural that depicts this at Hilldale Lutheran Church in Thunder Bay. It's a reminder that the church is to be a resting place for all kinds of people. Now, the second parable has to do with yeast. I didn't know very much about yeast until I started making Finnish coffee bread a few years ago. I learned that I had to be careful about how the yeast was handled. Water that was too hot would kill the yeast. I also learned that I had to knead the yeast into the dough. If you didn't knead it, it didn't have the opportunity to spread and do its work. And then I had to let it rest. And then I had to punch it down midway and let it rise some more, and finally do a little bit of kneading before braiding it into these fancy Finnish bread braids. And then one final rest before baking. The dough needs to be worked in order for the yeast to permeate the dough, and it takes time to do its work. So when I think about this as a kingdom parable, there are several things that come to mind. First of all, again, when we are talking about yeast, we are talking about something that is very small, but ultimately spreads through the whole dough. And it's critical to producing a nice fluffy loaf of bread. It takes some effort to spread the news of the kingdom, eventually, we hope, throughout the world. But there is a delicacy to knowing when we have kneaded enough. We don't need to be beating people over the head with the message day by day. It takes time. We live in a world that wants instant results. And, you know, I think this is something that unfortunately happens when it comes to inviting people to church or sharing the gospel. If we get up enough nerve to do it, we want an instant yes, and we want them to show up in church the next Sunday. But did you know that people who do these kinds of statistics say that it takes at least 7 invitations before someone will say yes? We need to keep working at it. When it comes to bread making, also, we need time. It takes me about 5 hours from start to finish when I make that finished coffee bread. And often I look at my dough and I wonder if I've messed it up this time. I become nervous that this time it's just not going to work out. But we have to exercise patience and trust in the process. Sometimes when we look around, we just don't see a lot of signs of the kingdom permeating our world. But we have to trust that God is at work, and that ultimately God's purposes will be accomplished. Something I didn't know about yeast is that it is everywhere in the air around us. I have a friend who actually captured yeast in a molasses solution left on her balcony and then baked bread with that yeast. In the same way, the kingdom of the heavens is all around us, whether we are aware of it or not. Then there's a pair of parables that are ultimately about the value of the kingdom. The treasure in the field and the pearl of great price both point to the reality that the kingdom of the heavens is of more value than anything else, and that it is worth us giving our all in order to have it. These parables confront me with a question. Do I really, truly value the kingdom of the heavens to that point, to that degree, to the degree that I would give up everything for the sake of the kingdom? The final parable in today's text likens the kingdom of the heavens to a net that is cast far and wide and catches fish of every kind. It brings us back to the themes of the parables of the past Sundays. The sower who generously sows the seed everywhere. The fields that end up with both weeds and wheat. And the reality that there will be a great sorting at the end of the age. Jesus calls his disciples fishers of people, and in that role, we are called to cast the net far and wide, to proclaim the good news of the kingdom in every possible context. The net will catch all kinds of fish, and all kinds of people will be drawn to God's message of love and grace. But at the end of the day, not everything is congruent with the values of the kingdom. And there will be a great sorting. But it's not time for that yet. We live in that already but not yet space, where there is yet time to plant the seeds, to work the dough, to seek the treasure or the pearl, and to cast the net far and wide. Matthew also tells us to seek the kingdom. Not that it is far from us. Jesus says that it is both within us and among us. The encouragement of these parables is to always keep the reality of the kingdom in view, an eternal reality in which we are called to live today. Amen.